Imagine for a moment you're Lazarus and you've been raised from the dead. On the face of it, it sounds pretty good. But think about it for just a second. You've been dead now for 4 days. Wherever you go after you die, hopefully it's heaven, you've gone to it already. Now you smell bad. You've been lying in a grave for 4 days in grave clothes, and you are returning to life only to have to die all over again at some future date. A reprieve, maybe, but eternal life, not yet. But since John's gospel doesn't tell us how Lazarus felt about his rebirth and his new life, much less what he said about it, we are left to speculate and use our imaginations as to what it might have been like for him. I happen to like artist Jacob Epstein's take on Lazarus in a statue he made for the chapel of New College in England. Epstein's Lazarus portrayal of Lazarus is he's standing a few yards from the entrance to the chapel. When the door is wide open, sunlight pours through it into the darkness of the chapel. Lazarus is still bound in his grave clothes. He is standing with his body pointed towards the door, but his head is turned back, looking over his shoulder. Epstein portrays Lazarus as somebody who, at the very least, is ambivalent or maybe even saddened by the prospect of new life beyond the grave. Last week, I was talking with some of my friends and colleagues about this Lazarus passage, and one of my friends shared a story that made me think of Epstein's description. He told me about a parishioner at his church who had a near-death experience years back, and the experience he described this way. He said, "I was walking down a long corridor, which suddenly split into two directions. Off to the right was a bright white light, and it was beckoning me to come toward it. And I wanted to go, but for some reason I was drawn to the other one. That was dark, and its walls were filled with peeling paint, and I found myself going down that direction." My colleague asked him, "Why didn't you want to go down the corridor that was filled with light?" And the gentleman said, "I did, but my son was at the end of the other corridor." For Lazarus's sisters now, Mary and Martha, it would have been great to have their brother back, I'm sure, and I'm sure Jesus did this knowing full well that meant a whole world to them, knowing that he himself would be dead in a couple of weeks. But what about Lazarus himself? What was it like for him? Was he thrilled to be brought back after he had tasted heaven, so to speak? And what does this story have to say to us who are gathering today to hear this word? Well, maybe there is something that has you bound up with nowhere to go, for example. What is it that keeps you from being the person that you want to be and that God wants you to be? Is it fear? Is it grief? Is it the isolation from other people right now during this pandemic? Is it the cocooning in your home with your TV and your computer? Is that beginning to get old and boring, for example? I think Jesus wants to call us out of that tomb and unbind us and set us free to be fully alive. When we get used to being in that tomb, into the ruts that we fall into, we don't even realize it sometimes. It just happens after a long time. I had a friend who described to me a rut this way. Its best explanation is that it's a casket with open ends. You can get out of it, but you are too comfortable to want to. And that happens in a lot of situations. We just get into ruts. What would happen if we let Jesus unseal that tomb of fear right now that's in us, or that tomb of dread or panic that sets in when we don't know what we're facing? Would our minds be flooded with more fears and negative thoughts like those of the disciples on that first Easter morning? You know, it was interesting to me that Easter was greeted more with fear than it was with joy. What's going to happen now, they must have asked themselves. How am I going to face Jesus after denying him 3 times, Peter must have thought. What do I do with the fact that I ran away when they nailed him to the cross, afraid that I might be next if I hung around? Part of me says that this is a great thing, am I willing to get my hopes up, so to speak? You know, it's nice to come back to life, so to speak, but it also involves a big risk. Am I willing to get my hopes up after having them had them dashed? Am I willing to love as deeply after experiencing the pain of such a devastating loss as losing somebody that I've loved? Where do I go from here now that the tomb is no longer the last word? What do I do without somebody to totally guide me, so to speak? And Jesus says to this, he says, "I came that you might have life and have it abundantly." And by that he means, "I came that you might know the heights of joy and the depths of sorrow. I came that you might know all of this life experience." He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. But new life is not easy. For many of us, it means a steep learning curve, having to suddenly learn new things that we never had to learn before, like how to call into meetings, or how to Zoom, or how to do live Facebook, or how to incorporate music into our worship, or how to use technology to get our message out for those who are longing to be connected to others spiritually through a virtual worship experience. New life isn't always easy. Remember the Israelites, the story out of Exodus? The Israelites who were freed from Pharaoh's captivity, and right after having passed through the Red Sea and receiving their new life, what did they do? The first thing they started to do was complain to Moses. Who's going to feed us now? How will we find water? Moses, how much longer is it going to be till we get to the promised land? Waiting is not something we like to do in this culture of ours. And now we are being asked to wait for an unknown period of time, but it is precisely at that moment when we come to realize that we were never really in control to begin with, that God's love starts to heal us from everything that would bind us to fear and to death itself. In these past 2 weeks, it has been amazing to watch people come back to life. All of us have been learning to reach out in new ways. And in the end, we are connecting now more than ever. I talk with my family every day. I talk with parishioners every day. I talk with friends and family all over the country every day. We may be socially isolated, folks, but we are not entombed, are we? As the great Bob Dylan sang, "My mind can be a terrible place to be. Better get out of myself and go see what others need." And that's exactly what we should do, is get out of ourselves, get out of our minds, and go and see what others need. Amen.